Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. And the following names: P Train Funk, Big Queen, Ode to Augustus, Bayou Cowboy. No, those are not the names of bands or musical songs. Those are the name of beers that are offered by our next guest. Tell us about it, Michael.
Yeah, if this was Jeopardy, I would say, what is Cajun Fire Brewing Company? This is great. We got a great guy, John Renthrop. He's a New Orleans native. He's an entrepreneur. He's a brewmaster. He started the company close to 15 years ago. It's a big deal. It's the first Black and Native American-owned brewery in Louisiana and the U.S. South. It's the first Native American-owned beer brand in U.S. history. And it's the second longest continuously operating Black-owned beer brand in the world. And most importantly, it's delicious.
Well, with that, John Renthrop, as Michael pointed out, New Orleans native entrepreneur and brewmaster, welcome to the show, John.
I appreciate you all having me. And that's why y'all are professionals y'all are. I can't top that introduction. Thank y'all for having me on the show. I'm smiling ear to ear.
John, I love, you know, I'm a big wine drinker, and I love the wineries that come up with these crazy labels on their wine and the crazy names of their product. And when I started looking at your story, I was like, oh, my God, I love these names. They're just phenomenal. But tell us about, you know, you founded Cajun Brewing back in 2011. What drew you to become a brewmaster?
So I started the industry, and, you know, beer is like one of the oldest beverages in civilization. And when we, you know, I live in an area that was definitely devastated by Hurricane Katrina, and, you know, coming on 20 years of that, we created a company in the footprint of that. And when I looked at my skill set, I was brewing beer in my early 20s. I looked at the economic opportunities that existed with manufacturing beer and getting the food beverage, and took my hand at it. And I'm happy to say we're still operating now, 14 years later. We have definitely made a pretty sizable economic impact around the nation with our brands, and, you know, the community has definitely been supporting. So it's a unique journey.
Oh, absolutely. And obviously, when you look at the names of your beers, it's not hard to figure out that you are truly inspired by both Cajun, Creole, Indian, and African traditions. Tell us about that culture that is connected to the flavors and the names of the beers that you produce.
Yeah, at face value, it's a skew, right? But with us making it, with us trying to make it organic and then trying to distinguish ourselves amongst, like, all the different brands that people have access to today, we thought the best way to go about doing that was to be truly authentic. So we don't have any kind of caricatures, anything like that with our beers. Normally, we try to use each product that we make to not only offer a traditional flavor profile, but also tell an organic story, something that's resemblance of New Orleans history and culture. Essentially be a Trojan horse, because beer has its way of getting into every crevice of society. And we just try to magnify our great history that we find out here in Louisiana.
Now, you produce seasonal beers and then beers that the availability, I think, is throughout the year. And I was reading about the Big Chief Cream Stout, about milk stout beer. What is that exactly?
So a milk stout, I mean, most people's first introduction to a I guess a stout style beer is like a Guinness. It's like the most consumed stout in the world. So with that, we wanted to make a stout that was year round. Normally people associated with drinking stouts as being, especially with it being a dark lager, essentially, is, all right, it has to be cold weather, it has to be snowing. We don't get that in Louisiana. And I love stouts. I'm a big stout advocate, and we wanted to make a stout that had a creamy backdrop to it, something that could pair with our culinary foods. You know, you got a lot of spicy Cajun Creole foods that the sensation when you're drinking a stout, if you don't have something that's a little smooth on the taste, it will create like a weird sensation that's not necessarily palatable to a lot of people. So we wanted to make a stout that you could drink year-round, something else with 5% ABV. Because we use vanilla bean in the stout, you get a nice aftertaste that's not really earthy. And definitely you'll taste those coffee notes, those caramel notes, chocolate, of course. And it's been a product that's been performing very well all around the world.
Yeah. And is your most popular beer Honey Ale, which is described as a Munich Amber style?
Yes, it is a Honey Ale. A lot of our beers, with distinction, we use honey and molasses. It not only extends the shelf life of our beers past 1 or 2 years, we get about 3 years out of our shelf life with our Honey Ale. I mean, honey is an ingredient that you buy and has an infinite shelf life. So it's the best ingredient to use, especially with inflation, everything right now to be considered. But also just from a flavor profile, it ramps up the complexity of a Honey Ale or traditional amber with it still being palatable. And it pairs very well with just about everything that's in a Cajun cook.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And folks, this is an interesting little detail. Cajun Fire is actually available in the Smithsonian, and you also export your beers to Japan, Spain, Peru. It's got to be incredible feeling about this national recognition, and as well as internationally, people enjoying your product.
Yeah, and that's a good question. To ask about it, because I do have a lot of anxiety. I'm a relatively young entrepreneur. Our company is a first-generation company, and, you know, we're in a sea of a competitor that's like five, four, fifth generation. So for my product and to be in those spaces is really a blessing. And, you know, unbeknownst to us, when we started shipping our products to Asia, we didn't realize that they didn't really have a category for honey beer. So, you know, I was doing my normal song and dance, selling it, and it just started taking off, and it was very overwhelming, just the reception that we received specifically for that product.
Yeah, and I got to imagine one of the most rewarding things that you involve yourself in is you say that your company's mission is brewing for socioeconomic change one pint at a time. You're giving back to local nonprofits. If you would, tell us about the connection between brewing beer and obviously giving back and building community.
So when I first started brewing, because our economic landscape for brewers is pretty much wiped clean after Katrina, I had to like get mentorship mainly in like Midwestern towns, former steel mill reserves, areas like that. And I would see areas where they would put a brewery in the town center. And, you know, I've visited the different cities periodically over the years, and you'll see a whole ecosystem of businesses be created around these breweries. And now it's kind of common fare, but, you know, when I got started around late 2008, that was something that was relatively new on the economic side of rehabilitating old areas. And now, you know, it's the fact that, you know, if you put a brewery in a space, you'll not only have a lot of jobs, STEM jobs. Normally people don't think about beer companies as a STEM manufacturing hub, but you have those jobs, and then you aggregate like transportation, logistics, other cultural arts. It's really in our DNA to be viable to our community. And in New Orleans East, specifically where we're headquartered and developing our brewery concept, that's where we see the most economic impact we can make.
Yeah, you're part of a major 10-acre development that's going to occur out there. Actually, I was reading some information about that. That sounds incredibly exciting for you and your company.
It is. It's, again, like I mentioned, it's brewing for socioeconomic change one pint at a time. For us, I think brewing beer, I'm a brewmaster by trade, and I very much view brewing beer as spiritual. And that's the kind of angle we take. We take it very serious because we do see it as being a job creator and something that can really revitalize a whole zoning district and hub.
Yeah. Finally, there's some kind of festival called Barrels on the Bayou that's coming this way in 2026. Is that obviously you guys are involved in that. What is that about?
Man, that is the byproduct of a proprietor named Dave Bracy. He started a beer festival in Pittsburgh that I'm normally a vendor at called Barrel on the Flow Fest. By me going there, I go to Pittsburgh so much I could probably wear my robe when I'm attending there at the festival. But it's always in August.
Hey, just don't wear a Steelers jersey, baby.
I'm not going to perpetrate like that. I'll get exposed real quick as soon as I start talking. But anyway, I convinced the proprietor. I said, hey, man, you know, if you could do that there, why not host the Sister City version in New Orleans? We have definitely a lot of crowd that can support it. And, you know, it'll be a pretty cool thing for this national festival that's now won, like, multiple best craft beer festivals in America awards to come to New Orleans. So he took me up on it. Came out here, enjoyed the hospitality. I shout him out some different times I thought would be very apt to his festival. And we're all in the zone. It's going to be April 17th to the 19th next year for 2026. It's truly one of the best beer festivals I've ever been to in my life. Sometimes I'm in the vendor space. So I try to duck off and enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's right now there's about 500 pre-sales from citizens from Pittsburgh that already bought tickets. It's going to be held at Lafayette Square and Gallia Hall. I think Barrels on the Bayou is the domain name that you can find the event, and it is something that you don't want to miss.
And did you say what time of year is it going to be?
It's going to be in April. April 18th.
In April?
I mean, April 17th to the 19th.
Yeah, remind me, I'd love to have you back on and talk about it. I mean, that sounds really cool.
I mean, it's going to create a lot of job opportunities for, like, not only food truck vendors, artists, as well as breweries, because they have a lot of collaboration products that you can only get at this one festival. And most importantly, it's going to have an economic impact, what we assume to be over $500,000 just in this first inaugural year alone for the state. And with, you know, the absence of, unfortunately, like a Buku Fest, or a Voodoo Fest, we see it as having the ability to grow to that. So, you know, it's definitely something that's going to be pretty cool.
So, folks, just in case you're interested, some of the other names, Black is Beautiful, Big Queen, Ode to Augustus, Seed, Stalk, and Root, P-Train Funk, Bayou Cowboy, just to name a few. Any other new ones on the horizon?
We got a product called Aunt Ethel's Ether. It'll tell the story of my great aunt. So it'll be a doppel box. It's just like, you know, most people know about Shiner box and things like that, a kind of a maltier beer. But it's going to have dark cherries infused in it. I'm a brewmaster, so I try to go and flex my skills. And we think this product is going to be amazing. It's going to showcase my great aunt who lived in Houma, Louisiana, and sold moonshine in the Southern Pacific Railroad. So I like to think... And I'm living my ancestors' wildest dreams with some of these things coming into the motion and market.
I love it. Congratulations to you and your entire team at Cajun Fire Brewing Company. And we wish you more success in the future. And I hope to meet you on April 17th out there at Lafayette Square for Barrels on the Bayou, a beer drinking festival.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. We're going to have a pint or two. How are you?
All right. Yeah, all righty.
John, we're going to honor this segment really soon. Like at lunchtime.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. John Renthrop with Cajun Fire Brewing Company. We'll be back with Michael Heck's final thoughts when we return. Stay with us, folks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.